Now, from the perspective of living after that first Christmas, we can say God has come. Look at Jesus. Behold your God. The message that God gives to us is a message that he has come near. That's what the heart of Christianity is. That is what salvation is. Salvation is really nothing more and nothing less than God's presence with us. God has not stood at a distance and given us a message. He's not given us a set of things to memorize. He's not given us a worldview to understand. He's not offering us programs of aid administered from a distance. We talk a lot about the fact that the gospel is a story, about the fact that the whole Bible is one grand story from beginning to end about God putting all things new. But you know what? God is not even just a storyteller. It's not just that God tells us a story to help us understand ourselves and his word, his world. Rather, the gospel is God has come near. God has come to us in the person of his Son. And so the heart of the message is just that, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. It's what we see happening throughout the Gospels. As people encounter Jesus, they start to point away from themselves and towards him. The message we have is not a message about ourselves. We're not called to talk about how great our church is. I mean, please do that. But there's nothing wrong with it. But the message we're given is really a message about Jesus. That is who we're to talk about. Sometimes we talk about giving our testimonies, and I think that can sometimes sound like we're meant to talk about ourselves. But if you're called to be a witness in court, if you're called to give testimony in a court of law, you're not really there to talk about yourself. You're there to talk about the events that have happened. You only talk about yourself insofar as you're involved and you illustrate the events that have happened. So John Stott, in his commentary on Acts, says, "Testimony is not a synonym for autobiography. To witness is to speak of Christ. Our own experience may illustrate, but it must not dominate our testimony. Our job is to say, look at Jesus. Look at him." We see it happening in the Gospels. We see John the Baptist right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry saying, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Look at Jesus." We see Jesus in Mark chapter 5 casting an army of demons out of a man and setting him free. And then Jesus says, "Okay, now you've got a job. Your job is to go and tell everyone how much the Lord has done for you." And so the man goes off, and Mark tells us that he goes and tells people how much Jesus has done for him. Look at Jesus. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman who is a complete outcast in her town. No one will go near her. And he transforms her, and she hurries back into town, and she says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Look at Jesus. In the Christmas story, we see Mary and the angels and the shepherds and Simeon and Anna encountering Jesus and then going away and saying, "Look at him. Behold your God." If you're not a Christian and you're here this evening, can I first of all say welcome? We're very glad to have you with us. But second, can I say, if you want to grasp what Christianity is all about, this is what you need to understand. That Christianity, really, is Christ. Christianity centers on Jesus Christ. It is all about him. So can I invite you to take a look at Jesus? To take a look at him and to ask yourself, what do I make of him? What do I make of who he is, what he's doing, what he says about himself, what he says about me? The best way to do that is simply to pick up one of the Gospels, one of the four eyewitness biographies of Jesus that are found in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pick up one of those and read it. And as you read, ask, what do I make of Jesus? It doesn't take long. Take about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Another thing you could do is in February, we'll be offering a course called Christianity Explored, which is a chance to engage with one of those biographies, the book of Mark, and to ask questions and to think and to see, who is Jesus? Starting at the beginning of January, we're going to begin a sermon series here on Sunday evenings, working through the Gospel of Mark. Can I suggest, if you'd like to find out more about Jesus, it would be a good thing to come and to listen in. Because really, what we're going to be doing in that sermon series is just saying again and again and again, look at him. See who he is. See what he's up to. See what difference he makes. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you like to invite friends to church, can I suggest the new year, for that reason, is an excellent time to do it, as we focus in on who Jesus is. What is our message? Very simple. Very simple. Look at Jesus. But if that's the message, what's he like? Who is our God? Second question this evening, who is our God? We see it in verses 10 and 11, and we see God presented as a mighty conquering king, a mighty ruling king, and also as a tender, loving shepherd. Verse 10, a mighty ruling king. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. That image of the arm of God appears repeatedly from Isaiah 40 right through to the end of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 66. It comes up a number of times, and it's really a symbol of God's mighty power. So in chapter 52 and verse 10, we read that the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The Lord has bared his holy arm. The way we would phrase it is, God has rolled up his sleeves and got to work. God has rolled up his sleeves. He's got to work. He has come to the aid of his people. He has come to rule in power. And he's come to get his reward. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. The word there, translated reward and recompense, those words are really to do with the wages for the work that you do. And it's not talking about a reward that God gives to us, it's talking about God's own reward. The reward that God will earn for himself when he comes. And what is that reward? We see it in verse 11. It's his people, his flock. God is rolling up his sleeves and getting to work, and he's doing so in order to win for himself a people, to earn for himself a people whom he treasures and views as a great reward. So as God comes and reveals himself most fully and clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ, as all the people around him say, look, look at Jesus, behold your God, what is it that we see happening? Well, we see Jesus rolling up his sleeves and getting to work. We see Jesus coming to rule as a mighty king. In the new year, we'll see in Mark chapter 3 that Jesus pictures Satan as a strong man who has taken humanity captive. Jesus pictures us as suffering under the oppressive rule of Satan. Satan is a strong man, but, says Jesus, I am a stronger man. And I have rolled up my sleeve, and I have come to plunder Satan's house and to win a people for myself. Jesus has come as a mighty, conquering king. It's captured beautifully in a poem written in the 16th century that Benjamin Britten set to music in his ceremony of carols. A poem about the baby Jesus as a mighty conqueror. You know, we like nativity scenes, don't we? People who really have no interest in Christianity, I think, like nativity scenes. They like seeing them in shop windows or in churches or maybe next to their Christmas trees. And one of the reasons, I think, is because it makes Jesus fairly safe. He's small, he's harmless, he can't really interfere. Just listen to this. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. And all hell doth at his presence quake, though he for himself for cold do shake. For in this week, unarmed wise, the gates of hell he he will surprise. Jesus has come as a mighty reigning king, a mighty conqueror. He has rolled up his sleeves to set us free. Who is our God? He's a mighty king with a mighty arm. And therefore our salvation is utterly certain. But he's also a tender shepherd, verse 11. A tender, loving shepherd. In verse 10, the mighty arm of God is on display. And the arm is still there in verse 11, but look where it is. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. In the Bible, the imagery of a shepherd is still imagery of a ruler, of a king. It is still imagery of power and strength and authority. But it's also very tender, very gentle, very personal imagery. A good shepherd cares for his sheep. A good shepherd knows his sheep by name. A good shepherd is aware of the weak and the needy, and he tends them. And he gathers even the little lambs into his arms. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the mighty, conquering king who is filled with tender love and compassion for the weakest and the neediest and the most helpless. Jesus says to us tonight, I've not just come for the impressive, the put together, the powerful, the successful, the competent, the able, the influential. I've come for the weak, the needy, the helpless, those who need my tender care. So we see the arm of the Lord. We see the arm of Jesus gathered around even the smallest lambs. We see him leading gently those who have the greatest needs. So in Mark's Gospel again, what do we see? As people twice bring children, little lambs to Jesus. What happens? Well, in both times, in phrases that surely echo this verse, Mark tells us they bring the children to Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He gathers them in his arms. Jesus is the shepherd of the weakest and the most vulnerable. He is the shepherd not just of impressive, put-together, competent adults. He's the shepherd even of tiny children. The shepherd and savior of adults. The shepherd and savior of little babies. Verses 10 and 11 together are wonderful, aren't they? What a great portrait of Jesus. Majestic, mighty rule. Tender, loving care. We find these things so hard to keep together. Some of us value competence and ability, and we get impatient with people who are less than competent, and we get embarrassed by our own incompetence. Some of us value gentleness and tenderness, and we get embarrassed by the times when we're harsh, and we get frustrated and critical when other people are harsh. There is no need for us to be embarrassed by Jesus, because in him we see competence and kindness perfectly put together. Competence and kindness, power and tender love, put at the disposal of all who will come to him. There's no need to be ashamed to talk about him. He's not going to embarrass us. He's not going to let people down. This is what he's like. But if this is what he's like, if he's come as the mighty, tender shepherd of his people, how is it that he actually shepherds us? How does he shepherd us? That's our last question tonight. If that's who is our God, thirdly, what has he done? What has he done? We see the arm of the Lord again in chapter 53, if you just turn over there for a moment. And we've seen two pictures of the arm of the Lord so far. Now we see a third, but it's from a really different angle. And as we look at the arm of the Lord this time, we see that the Lord's arm is covered in dreadful scars. 53 verse 1. Who has believed what he's heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus, the arm of the Lord, has come to shepherd God's people. But what kind of sheep are we? Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Jesus has come as the arm of the Lord to deliver us from Satan's power, as the strong man to take captives from Satan and turn us into his flock and carry us home. But the power that Satan has over us is the power of sin and death. It's the power of the fact that we are like sheep who have gone astray and turned to our own ways. That's how he starts to exercise his power right at the beginning, isn't it, in Genesis 3. As he tempts Adam and Eve to sin and death enters the world. And so in order to liberate captives from Satan's fold, Jesus is going to have to deal with sin and death. Our sin is going to be placed on him. Our guilt and punishment is going to be placed on him. He is going to endure our death. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how he shepherds us. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So put these images together. These images of the arm of the Lord. The mighty, ruling arm. The bloodied, broken arm. The tender, shepherding arm that carries his people home. Put those images together, and you get these words from C.S. Lewis. He must stoop in order to lift. He must almost disappear under the load before he incredibly straightens his back and marches off with the whole mass swaying on his shoulders. Behold your God. Look at Jesus. What is it that you get excited about? What is it that you just can't help yourself but talk about? This week, as I've spent time in these verses of Isaiah, and my prayer has been what I prayed at the beginning, that I would see Jesus again. This week, as I've got excited by Jesus. Isn't he extraordinary? How could I ever be embarrassed to talk about him? Let's be honest. It's always going to be awkward to talk to other people about Jesus. It's always going to be a little bit embarrassing, even if you're American. But here's the antidote, I think, to that. The antidote is to look at Jesus. To look yourself. This Christmas, take time to look and look again at Jesus. Stare and stare and stare at him until you're ready to lift up your voice with strength and say, look at him. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus. We praise you for the way he reveals you so perfectly. We praise you that you didn't stay at a distance, but you came near to us. We praise you for Jesus' mighty power to deliver people from sin and death and Satan. We praise you for his tender love and compassion as our shepherd. We're so grateful for him. We pray this Christmas season that you would help us to see him, that you would help us to take time to look and look again and be so filled with love and excitement at him that we long to say to others, look at him. For his name's sake we pray. Amen.